I always pictured it. It's like, okay, we're using these technologies. We're using devices like a phone or a computer.
That might be Brian. So I just don't know how do I disconnect that. Okay, you there, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh,
are you talking?
Oh, the other Brian. Brian Taylor? No.
We're here.
Three times show.
Anyway, we're using these technologies, Brian, that are this device that we use in the meantime till we get back to God. It's like this phone, like what we're this whole conversation that we've been having is just one small example of this process of getting back. But instead of but we're using devices, you know, we're utilizing devices, the chip body, the electronic environment, if you will, to allow us to do things that we're going to be able to do without them when we get back.
Right. And the question would be, would we keep these technologies if we can do this other stuff? Because going to parallel worlds is pretty good, but you go to a lot of parallel worlds when you're watching television or the computer just by the data that's coming into your mind. You know, you're shifting different scenarios. If I went to another world, I'd be stuck in that world until I left it. Very slow and tedious. So would we keep this technology since in a way it's faster than the old occult knowledge of moving to world to world?
See, the thing is, the problem with this whole thing is that until you come to that place, you don't know it. The reason media ecology has to be here to tell you that there are other worlds that you're going to is you're still going to the other worlds, but figuratively, you don't know what it is that you're getting. It's language that involves words that deviate from their precise definition in order to achieve a new, altered, or more complicated understanding. Through overstatement, understatement, comparison, multiple means.
I agree with that.
Not only gets to another.
So
world,
explain that last sentence. Is that, I mean, that's good because the words we use in language, like if we use a certain word, it could have 15 different definitions. So it
multiple meaning.
Right. So it could get. I don't know if you would use the word defiled or
It's making linguistic, cultural reference. It's always when we say another world, we mean through overstatement, not this one.
It means not this one.
There is a delay in our perception in how we decode what we. Is this going to change? Are we going to be in the past always, or are we really going to decode everything instantly?
Pragmatic.
Pragmatics?
Pragmatic, yeah.
It's going to be pragmatic? Is that an adjective, you know, or it's a action, pragmatic?
It'd be like a standard pragmatic model, what Ross is talking about.
Have we experienced it yet?
You will soon.
And did McLuhan see that condition company coming?
No, you hadn't invented it yet. He will.
He will, but have I invented it yet? Have I invented it?
Yes, of course. You're going to update, Marshall. You'll find the lost letter that's going to be written that hasn't been written yet. You'll find the lost letter that proves that your point, because you're telling him now, then, that now was then, that that was the thing to go. Otherwise, there was no Guten. There was no Guten in the Gutenberg galaxy.
Right.
So that is how you understand us? Like, sometimes you start answering before we end the question. You already know. We're going to know. And if this was happening to Ruth, that she is...
Ruth.
You say faster?
She's special.
Yeah, but is she manifesting a condition that you're talking about, Ion? For all of us.
Non-figuratively.
That means literally.
Well, you are conforming saying, yes, or limited to the simplest, most obvious meaning. Okay.
Okay. Good question there, Roxy.
Hello?
Yes, Doc.
Greetings.
Hey, Ion. Hey, Bob. How you guys doing?
Go ahead. Stop fucking around.
Okay.
Get it wet and stick it in, either way.
Yeah. All right. I'm trying to practice the relax and loud. I'm wondering how to make this process go quicker.
9 millimeter to the base of the skull.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Get hollow points if it's not going to be an open casket funeral.
Is this Jim talking or Jonathan?
Jonathan.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Go ahead. Keep going.
I've just been doing really good, and I'm just trying to get the relaxation.
We're not asking how you're fucking doing. Pursue the topic.
I already, that's all I needed to ask. I'm sorry. That's just one
no.
Well, what do you make of his answer? You're trying to relax a lot. Would you rather shoot yourself or attempt suicide another calmer way?
I'd rather
shoot yourself. Let's say it another way. If you're having to work this hard to get relaxed a lot, maybe you're missing a little part of it. You see?
Yeah.
If you're relaxed a lot, it shouldn't be a difficult. That should be the slack way, the version.
You already are a lazy person, Jonathan. It's just laziness.
Have you heard the idioms?
No, he hasn't bought any recordings yet.
Oh, well, then you probably
He's
got
new.
The back to the loud down pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Relaxing loud is being lazy, Jonathan, which you are. So you're already doing it.
There's a recording that goes into it in a little more detail.
All right.
Great. If you really want to relax and allow, you won't care how to do it.
Gotcha.
You don't have us. You wish you did, but you don't.
I am.
See, Jonathan, the non-physical becomes a creator, and he's just a salesman. He's just trying to get you to buy stuff to send Bob more gold.
I am. Okay, sometimes
Bob.
When I'm listening,
so it's okay.
Bob, what, Ion?
Bob gives it right back to you anyway. So it's
yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Sometimes when I'm listening to some music, I have a very wonderful feeling. Is that my physical melting with you, or what is that?
It's you connecting to the best part, the physical.
Physical, not non-physical. Connecting with physical. Best parts of physical. Very important point, people.
It's
what's physical?
The essence of coitus.
Coitus,
Brian
yes.
doesn't know he's in his bedroom and he has
right.
an erection.
Yeah. Is that physical? Yeah, if I'm in my bedroom and that's figuratively
stop,
physical.
Stop.
There's no time we told Brian to shut up.
If Brian is in his bedroom, if he doesn't know he's in his bedroom, and he has an erection, and he has an orgasm, did he come in his bed?
Not since the Patriot Bill. It's being recorded. It's being taped. The television
literal?
Is watching him.
Is that literal or figurative? Is the orgasm literal or figurative? Which is it? There's a quiz, people.
Yeah, Brian, you can answer first.
It's literal to me.
Okay.
Right.
So then your bedroom is literal to you because it's where it
right.
occurred. So past tense, there had to be a bedroom before there was an orgasm in order for you to come in it.
Right. What's that
so
have to do with
that? Well, we're trying to catch you up here. we're now going to apply those words into the sequitur that it says there's no time. So now, if there's a world, you get to say the bias and the basis of that world's application. And that's why the question, why you're querying a bit.
Well, so it would be because of
amplitude.
Triangulation.
Well, amplitude, the frequency point of your knowing. Because your knowing comes and goes, but yet then you knew, and then you know you knew, and you knew you knew, and you wanted to know.
Right. And the amplitude is
how tight the frequency is. Or is.
How tight the frequency. I thought that was a period. How tight it
how
was.
How offended you are.
Well, we don't like ascending that way because you already are to us.
Amplitude is the maximum extent. The maximum
amplitude is the peak of the wave. It's the top of the wave, but how tight or how far apart it is, that's the period, right?
Excellent, but the point is the amplitude affects the period. The period is the time element. There's not one.
Amplitude affects the period. That's based on the angle.
Mm-hmm. Pitch. Don't overthink it. That's not difficult. That's not the hard part. The simplest way to do it, we'll go back to the hula hoop with the magic marker rolling it around the wall, and it'll be beautiful, but glib. All we're saying is, don't get trapped in the time warp again. And that's the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Bob, if you queued it up.
Aren't there a whole bunch of songs in that movie? Or is there a particular one that you're citing?
Let's
do the time warp again.
What was that?
Yeah.
Is that Meatloaf?
Let's do the time warp.
Let's do the time warp again. I heard of that. That's a boring song. I got a better one. Yeah. Let's have this guy describe the No Time Discarnate song.
Monster Magnet is perfect for the time warp.
The magnet is, did you say?
The Monster Magnet?
Yeah, well, that's close. Let me just bring it up. I will play it right now. I got it right here. Soundflower. And then what? I bring up the volume. I think I'm all connected. Listen to this. Yep. It's exactly if it goes, boom. Now, you couldn't get a more direct advertisement of what we're talking about than that song.
And that was on Absolutely Free?
1966. 50 years ago. Frank, discorporate, leave your body, there is no time. And he was guiding you. And you go into the world of the purple jelly with the vixens and stars and the glistenings and the astral images, blah, blah, blah. See? Pretty fucking obvious, eh, people?
And then the little...
Oh, no, it's not obvious at all.
We hear from the stupid. The stupid speak once again.
Well, okay, here we go, Bob. Here we go.
No,
He just talked about...
You have to apply the goober gravy.
Are you still there?
Yeah, we're all here.
You have to apply the goober gravy.
Yeah. So just a second ago, Bob, did we or did we not establish that I said my body's here in my bedroom? You said no. That's not your body. That's not where you are. So explain to me if that's the case. I'm not here in my bedroom. I'm everywhere. When Zappa says you leave your body, what is he saying? What's he saying the body is that you're leaving?
He's,
you,
He's using the language of the hippie culture that he was experiencing in L.A. and satirizing the fact you already were discorporate. The very first image that he held up in Hit Parader magazine when the marketing came out for Freakout in 66, he holds up the headpiece of a phone, whatever you call that old-fashioned thing you'd speak into, and in, the wire coming out of it would be in the other hand, and he would show that it was unplugged. He says, I'm speaking to you people who think you're unplugged from the electronic discarded state via the telephone, but you're not. So he put on the very proper image to respond to McLuhan, who was becoming big that year. And so, yes, if you unplug your phone, you will then require discorporation, but you already are discorporating while on the phone. That's why it's kind of satirical the way he sings it. Is that too multi-level for your literal Ohio mind,
yeah.
Brian?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay, if you want to remain undescended, I'll pass
it would
the...
be, it would be
Carolyn, you teach him.
Of, it would be a little bit south of Midway then, yes.
Yeah, Indiana. Damn Indiana. Area 54. Brian's a victim of Area 54, the Wright-Patterson base. But, Carolyn, you try to explain to Brian what he's not getting. Maybe you can do it.
Brian, you're trying to hold on to a physical body when you know that you're dreaming right now, so it's a failed attempt to do something that you can't.
But I can. Let me ask you this, Carolyn. Do you know where you are? Let me rephrase it because we're just going to go down that same road. Are you having an experience being in the place that you are, in the room, in the house, in Hawaii, on the phone? Are you having an experience?
Yeah, there's my physical body, but then we've got the five bodies, but we've also got the electric environment. And Bob has told this story many times. When I was first on national TV or whatever TV it was.
It was TV Ontario, November 20th or November 22nd. It added up to 22. 1986, your first time on TV, where she ended up, because it was snowed in Ontario, you know, 60, they had 80,000 phone calls in 90 minutes because everybody was stuck inside the home, so they watched Pretty Carolyn. Well, I noticed when the camera first went on to Carolyn, she looked in it, and then she looked away, and she suddenly realized she didn't know what to look at. Or what was she seeing? Mm. And I said, there it is. That's the shock when you go on TV. You experience the discarnate state because you have to perform. And you're there, and you think you have to speak and address somebody. And you could just see in Carol's mind, she was temporarily confused about who and what am I talking to. And I don't think she was aware of it until when she came home, I pointed out to you, and we watched the tape, and you could see the little weirdness in your eyeball, right, Carol? You can see your temporary confusion at that instant.
So the point is something.
Wait, Brian's got a response. Brian's got a response. What, Brian?
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know Carolyn's experience at that time, but I would say if she's
she
looking
just told
at the camera,
you. What that stupid statement? I don't know. We just told you Carolyn's experience. Wait, take it in. Absorb
it.
Well,
no. She's on the camera for the first time, so she's probably thinking to herself, do I look at the camera when I'm talking, or do I look at the host while I'm talking? It's not that she's confused.
No, not the host. She was looking at the camera, and she realized the camera was not where her gaze was going. You look at the camera, but it's going everywhere and nowhere. But you're already being seen.
So, Carolyn, while you were talking, did you have the thought, should I be looking at the host while I'm speaking, or should I be looking at the camera while I'm speaking?
No, they tell you. I mean, they obviously tell you, don't look at the camera. Look at the host. I mean, that's, you know,
and it was
TV 101. But so Bob is right. You know, when you look at this empty lens, you think, geez, I'm supposed to be speaking to an audience, and there's this lens, and what does that mean? And it is really the electric environment effect that I was able to experience kind of consciously, which everybody is involved in, but they don't know it. And that's what Bob's trying to get across to you, that when you're on the telephone, you're right here with us in Maui, you're in Berlin, you're in, you know.
I know that, and I get that. What I'm challenging is, Carolyn, while you're
why challenge it? Why do you take
an adversarial
position on everything, whereas
it's not adversarial, it's just what Bob does all the time. Bob is constantly being an anti-environment. But Bob's quote was, if you're talking on the phone, you don't have a physical body. So I'm going to ask you, Carolyn, based on your senses in your house, wherever you're at, do you experience your body simultaneously while you're talking on the phone?
I think the way I put it, Brian, is your body is not here in my house, but I hear your voice. So I do not see your physical body. So you are here without a physical body. That's the point.
But that's not what was said.
Well, that's Bob's nodding. Yes, Ian?
The body cannot extend past the preposition at.
The body cannot extend.
That's why the question, the most profound question, came in the 60s. Where is it at? Everybody's looking for where it's at, and they didn't know where at was anymore.
But Bob, Brian says that wasn't the question. So stop typing. And
I'm recording. I'm writing these notes out about what he said.
Right, the notes out.
I have to record and think and perform at the same time. That explains
That doesn't mean anything to you, the fact that your voice is here and your physical body isn't, therefore you don't have a body here?
No, and see, that's not what you said. You said my body's not there. You said my voice is there. So are you saying that the voice and the body are the same thing?
Yes, they're pretty close. Pretty close. Ian says the voice is what we are besides the cell. You can change your form into anything, so your voice is the only thing that's constant, and the cells that go with it.
Right, right. I mean, because I get the fact, I mean, we've talked about this many times. I get the fact that this, what you call a discarnate state. I'm doing, back in the day, Bob, I'm having sex with all of you discarnately. You know, you talk that to your girls on the phone, blah, blah, blah. I get all that. I'm just, you was quoting McLuhan, and I just, I'm gonna challenge that statement. Now, wait a second. If I'm on the phone, I don't have a body. Well, hold on a second. I do have a body. I mean, my physical senses, my sight, hearing. Now, we can get into the senses and the senses beyond the five senses, touch, taste, sight, smell, hearing. But based on those senses or instruments, I perceive a reality. Right? Okay, and I perceive a physical body based on those senses. And I could perceive this body and talk to you on the same on the phone at the same time. So all I was saying is, well, I don't get that statement that McLuhan's making. If you're talking on the phone, you don't have a body. I'm like, okay, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, Bob, is it enough to say that Brian doesn't have a body here with us? Is that what McLuhan meant?
No.
Brian's trying to say, you're saying he doesn't have a body that he's looking at and feeling in his own room.
McLuhan said that he was trying to describe an obtuse, oblique situation. We're trying to point out that this is different than anything before when people didn't have phones, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sticking to any of the words I say. All these words are different ways to prompt you to have the perception of what I'm talking about. I'm not a fanatic about it. I would have killed myself 30 years ago or now, by now, if I was trying to get through to people this point. But it is something that people need to notice that notice this subtle change and what it means to all their images of physics and matter and where they think they are. It just becomes an instrument, and they go about getting into trouble because they don't recognize they're not in New York City anymore, and the economy is not based on the bankers in Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. The slight shift that a media makes is what McLuhan defines it, a sensory shift. And it's not an idea. He's saying this is a physical fact. And that's all it is. I like to say it's just a change in the weather. Well, when the weather changes, it affects people deeply. So we're just trying to not make any way of describing it the only way, Brian. I'll do anything to get you to see it. I'll try different ways. And
okay,
it's
but
very
I get that. That
okay,
it,
so you got it. All right, you understand, Brian. Forget everything I said. If you get it, then apply it in your life to whatever comes up. When physics starts talking in 1927 in Copenhagen about the quantum mechanics and the weird thing of electron being in two places at once, say they're trying to describe in their old physics models what's happening on the radio, that people are in two places at once, and they don't recognize it's happening in their social lives. They think it's happening in some abstraction called matter. And they know Newton doesn't fit anymore. You can apply this point to everything that's ever said in any field.
Right, right. But all I'm saying is, just let's go back to the statement you just made about physics was trying to figure out when radio came in that,
yes,
hey, these people are in two places or at once, or you are in two places at once. Okay, I'm just saying define the two U's. Define the quote, what you perceive.
I don't think it can be defined, Brian. I don't think the verbal language or painting or music, no former chemical body technology can communicate the new situation. That's
okay,
what I'm
going
to say. Communication of the new is a miracle, but not impossible.
Okay,
this
that's
is a new
fine.
Situation
so
you're trying to describe.
Right, so you could say, I could say that you are in two places, but I cannot define the two you's that I'm speaking of.
If we agree that if something's happened, then I wouldn't be arguing with you. I'd cooperate with you, try to paint, describe, or sing the situation. You know, I would start to collaborate with you in trying to describe it. If you could,
right.
If you weren't arguing with me anymore, if you could acknowledge that it's a new situation, and then we're exploring what McLuhan called ignorance, exploring ignorance for discovery. We're all ignorant in how to talk about this thing. No words meet the new situation. Hasn't for 100 years. That's why all the arts became radical. They knew linear narrative explanation did not cover the new instant evolution that happened. And then you don't have to worry. You don't have to buy art. You don't have to follow it. You get what they're trying to show, but you get their problems, and you can come up with your way of trying to express it, preferably with other people. Right? You got that, Brian?
The one
I got it.
The one we're trying to convey is in your inbox. Play that one, Bob.
Okay. What you think it would help to explain this topic, Ion?
It will. That's kind of where it's going to.
Okay. You know, it's much like you know, Brian. Ion's a new environment trying to. Okay, Ion. That. Just stop that. How do I get this? Just when I get the sound off here.
You're good. You're doing good. It's perfect. It's what it does.
No, wait. I need to take the sound off. Just a second. Okay. Ion, the title of the song is I'll Have a New Life. Well, what they're not pointing out is that the electric environment brought in a new life. It shifted what life was. Now, are they singing about something past the stasis that electricity creates?
No. No, it's an I'll Have a New Body. It's what the name of the song is.
Oh, they don't
new
have that
body.
On the thing. Yeah, that's
it's
well, but they should
body.
Say, I have a new body. Frank goes
they
first,
do.
Says, you have a new body.
That's what they're saying.
They're saying, I will body. Have one. It's a past, present, future, perfect.
But this, that's okay, but that's what Brian's asking. The distance between I have a new body and I will have a new
right.
body in a
okay.
perfect tense. That's when
okay,
he knows
that.
He's in his room. When he's in his room, he'll have a new body.
Yeah. Okay, Brian?
That's the ascension. Graves all bursting, saints are shouting, ready to live in paradise.
No, it's not ascension. It's
body.
An attempt, Ion. By you, you've been
oh,
forced
yeah,
to come into
course.
The dialogue because this new situation went around non-physical and included it, Brian.
Yeah.
Non-physical
yeah.
was affected by the electric telegraph.
Yeah, it was just a dry fuck.
Yeah, before then it was just a dry fuck. Now they had to come in. Where is Brian? Did I mute him or something, or did he drop?
No, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay, well, your turn to speak. Address what we're saying here. The ion non-physical, this is where I used to predict 30 years ago that the astral plane, which was my term for the non-physical, was being affected by electricity. And so that predicted that something like ion, and Sun Ra predicted it, that a voice from another dimension would come and speak to us. Because it had to, because the electric vortex sucked everybody into this new dimension.
So did this electric environment, you made the statement, you just made the statement that the electric environment affected non-physical.
Yes.
And what do you mean by that? Just by allowing non-physical to come through and speak, or what do you mean by that?
There'd be different ways to say it, Brian. Like I would say, yes, electricity allowed, it got rid of the veil of visual space, so it allowed Ion to speak to us directly. Maybe there's other ways you would say it. It forced non-physical, which was a product of visual space and the veil, to actually not have the veil there so it could see and talk to us. There would be different ways of approaching it.
It predicted non-physical. It sort of ushered it in.
What predicted it?
Electric environment. It was close to what non-physical is, the intuitiveness and.
But look, it goes back to when Anna, I think her name was Ann Stewart from Boston. She asked. She had a really good question. Her private session. Back in 2010 or 2011, she said, Ion, how much of the guff is emptied? No one had even thought it being emptied. They thought it was going to be emptied. And Ion said it was 80% emptied. So I immediately jumped in with something I'd been thinking about, that, okay, I said, Ion, is it emptied 80% because of the telegraph, and it's been emptying for 150 years? And Ion said, yes. Now, that, yes, I hold on to that unless he's going to change his statement now because we're different people now. But that meant that the electric environment somehow was affecting the death zone where people died into. And that's what I've been predicting it. And Anna evoked a situation where, wow, it's 80%. So then we had to ask, well, what's happening to the last 20%? And Ion said, it's like a drain. When the drain is almost empty, it really spins up the last part of emptying. That's what we're going to experience now. The last 20% of a huge speed up of the guff emptying or electric effect happening. So, Ion, would you correct what I'm saying? Add to it or supplement?
Just the vortex. The vortex, 32 feet per second increases at the end.
Yes. The vortex. So, can you describe how electricity affected non-physical, in some words, which may be inadequate?
A joule to an amp is a watt to a kilowatt.
And how did you, do you bring in the lotus flower in that ratio?
Did not.
Would you or could you?
Yes, but
no reason to. Well, when you bring up the lotus flower the next time, we'll relate it to this issue. Then in that context, you might want to say something.
Okay.
But non-physical, Ion said a joule to an amp is a watt to a kilowatt, so we just got amped up, electric environment amped up non-physical. Is that correct, Ion?
No.
Amperes for everybody.
See?
No, that's, what does it mean to get amped up? We actually got non-amped. We didn't need amplification. We were there in touch immediately.
We get lit up so that we could see each other.
Yeah, not amped up. We got lit up. I'd say I'd go with that.
Well, doesn't ohms factor into the equation? Isn't there less resistance?
Ohmage is resistance. There is no resistance issue between a watt and a kilowatt.
And there's no resistance between a joule and an amp.
No.
And is this what the electric environment did? It created, it took out the ohmage?
Precisely.
It took out the resistance?
He said precisely, Brian. He said precisely.
Oh. Okay.
Good.
Nice.
We got some good semi-definition there. Not that we require it.
From the demagogue.
Brian.
I do. I require it, Bob.
Yes, you do. You're from Missouri.
Yes.
You need to resist.
I'm in my analytical state right now, Bob, so we got to be analytical.
Yeah, no, you know what that is, Brian? That's the American cliche, seeing is believing.
Okay.
Seeing is believing. Seeing is resistance.
He's just looking for the goober gravy.
Who, Brian is or Bob is?
Brian is.
Yeah. Do you get that, Brian? Since seeing is a form of illusion, and Americans are a society built up in the printing press, an extension of seeing, they are the most individualistic and individualistic resistors to collective merging. So you are being an American when you say what you did say, and I'm saying, yes, seeing is believing. That's omerage.
Mm-hmm.
That's resistance. Like, you know, America brought in the electric environment, empty the guff, but American culturally is the least adaptable to the world that the Chinese are good at relating to.
So are we activating other senses? Because it sounds like we're trying to get rid of or get out of or not be boxed in by the, quote,
that happened,
five senses.
Yeah, and we have to update our perceptions to see through the stasis. So isn't it interesting that in Revelation that America is the Babylon, the great resistor, the great whore, the great beast, because it was built on visual space, and therefore it could not handle the post-dark age, post-visual world that electricity brought in. That's a McLuhan way to interpret what Ion described in the book of Revelation. Do you agree with that, Ion? That
sure,
statement,
like
those
it.
Words, nice words.
Yeah, we like it. We like it.
Yeah. So you get that, Brian? The country that is first becomes last. It was the first to make the electric environment. You know, with Samuel B. Morse and all the great technology that came out of the United States, it set up a situation where where Americans as a culture could not take the effect of the wealth that they initiated because of their visual bias. That's a great paradox or a great trick, a cosmic trick by technological evolution on the genius culture that made a big chunk of it.
On their bias.
Yeah, so it's like a human who takes the outer road and falls and doesn't do the non-outer road, I don't want to say goes inner, but goes into and retrieves its actual ascended condition without technology, we took the technological route and we get our comeuppance for doing that. And we, as and Ion says, we wanted to do that. We asked to do the wrong way.
So it becomes an unphysical bias.
The condition we get into, Ion, that's a problem, becomes the unphysical bias?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm happy having these things defined. You guys can start asking questions on your terms to get it for your particular minds, replay what the insight is here, so you get it in your terms. So ask away about this, what we just figured out. What do you say, Lynn? Lynn, you got any statements about this?
Okay, well, we will see you in a
Is everybody unmuted?
See, now look, Ion's going. Please get him interested by speaking, even if you don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, so Ion, if the new environment is stasis, those that have transitioned, those that are not in the guft but have transitioned, are they in a different state than stasis? Is the state of those transitioned different from the state of those that are still in the physical body?
I think you came in too late, Gene. He's gone.
Well,
he's gone. Wait a minute. See if he's coming back. No, he's not back. Yeah, he's not here right now.
Okay.
I mean, Gene, wouldn't they be in a different state? I mean, if you separate from your physical body, I mean, that would be a different state, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I'm saying the electric environment permeates that the guff area.
Yeah, I'm just curious what's changed, if anything's changed in regard to...
Well, what we just got said, Gene, is that things have changed for everybody in all worlds.
Right, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that electricity is the ultimate force. Ion says it's part of the fallen condition, I think, electricity, because it's the connection with over the resonant interval, the first electric exchange that is shown in the Sistine Chapel between Adam and God. So that's a fallen condition. But within the fallen condition, it is very dramatic, the electric effect. It's almost like the original fallen state externalized as an environment is what we grew into 150 years ago. So that's pretty awesome. Tell your teacher, to your high schoolers.
I agree with that. That's a good statement.
And literally, it's a state of inactivity or equilibrium.
Well,
and
you know, they are...
The impression, the image I had of being in the guff or being non... or not having a physical body, transitioning, I had that image as a state of inactivity, of not. It, so that's why I'm curious what the difference is. Or
well, I am described it as you don't do anything when you're dead. This is back in the guff days. You're in a state of bliss. You don't have any of the issues that your sensory life has. So you're quote, content. Ion does imply that eventually somehow you get irritated by being that and you want to have contrast. So you somehow retrieve the physical condition, even though it's not reincarnation. I don't know how, I don't think that's been teased out in words what's going on there. But it is a kind of stasis, but it's not a negative stasis. It is a blissed out stasis. You don't have to be anywhere. And Ion says you know everything about the physical. But it's irrelevant, anything that you know about the physical, because it's not as good as the blissed out state you're in. It's a state of no mind. And we technically
We've assimilated that
with the electric environment.
So what is the difference between?
The difference would be that not going to the guff and not using the electric environment leaves you open to experiencing something, the ascended state, which is neither in the guff or electrified.
So it's that blissful state that allows you to...
I wouldn't call it that. You wouldn't describe it because the ascended person can handle contrast or the contrast is very dimmed. You can't describe being... You wouldn't bother to describe being ascended. That's why the truly ascended people are not heard from. They can't describe what it is. The words are limited.
And Ion said he said it was an unproved creation. So
what is? What is?
Earlier they were...
No. What? Ascension is an unproved creation? Is that what you're saying?
No, they were talking about what's the noun?
Don't tell me what they're talking about. Just tell me the noun. Something is an improved creation.
The example we were talking about was the atmosphere. And Ion was saying that we're not seeing the changes in the atmosphere.
Because it's not proved.
He related, they called them unproved creations. And once we prove them, then... they're obsolete or they don't exist anymore. They fall out of our awareness or something.
Well, a new thing. It seems that the world we're moving into does not require any description. Only the fallen little man starts trying to describe it and fit it into their labs and measure it, and they refuse to acknowledge we've made cold fusion and will continue in their stupid little labs with James Martinez / Curtis right talking about it on the ratio, but how we're on the edge of discovering cold fusion. You've heard the rumor.
Yeah.
Bill Gates has expressed an interest in this stuff. Ruby told me this the other day, that the big thing is that within a couple of months, there's a big announcement about the cold fusion world, and Bill Gates is running around offering millions for researchers. That's little man running around denying what we've created. Now, they don't know about it yet, but anyways, I'm saying it. And they will try to make their little worlds or little labs to fit into their old technical paradigms. But we don't have to say nothing when we got the battery. It just works.
Or the box. I read an article about a doctor in Mexico. He sort of, by accident, discovered some sort of photosynthesis, human photosynthesis energy, and he claims that he had been using it for lighting a bulb for 5 years. And he was studying skin and melatonin and I think the eyes. So maybe they are sort of
they're doing nothing, Roxy.
Nothing.
If you knew what we had, that's puny little fragments of nothingness. I mean, you can't run whole cities on a little fucking bulb, okay? We can with what we have. You have to run the whole planet.
You said the rumor is that cold fusion, there's going to be an announcement about cold fusion in the next couple months.
There's going to be a big breakthrough. And then they said Bill Gates was running around visiting that guy, that Italian guy, and he's going to start offering money to cold fusion researchers to start proving their experiments or whatever the stupid stuff they're doing. And I know it's just Bill Gates finding out, getting whiffs of what we're doing. There's a lot of people who know, getting glimpses of it, and they're running around trying to find us. And so he said, well, I'll find by offering money to these inventors that come forward. That's fishing, and maybe Bob will show up. We'll find out who Bob is and what he's got. But they're responding to the fact it's happening, and they're trying to find out where it's at. And we're not helping them.
Who started the rumor, Bob?
No, Ruby, who runs the Cold Fusion Now website.
Oh, Ruby started the rumor that there's going to be an announcement in a couple.
She didn't start the rumor. She was told it. And I guess they probably have an announcement on her website. She just told me, emailed that the other day. Matter of fact, let me just see if I can come up with her correspondence that she wrote me.
Okay, so she told you that somebody else told her that there was going to be an announcement in a couple months.
Yes. If I can find it, I'll just read exactly what she wrote me.
Well, did you tell somebody else that told Ruby then? Who did you tell, Bob?
What? No, I don't know what you're saying. I'm going to tell you what happened to me this week. Okay? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read the email exchange. Is that a good idea?
Yes, I made a joke there. Wasn't it you that started the rumor in the first place?
Maybe I did by our show here. Maybe our show. So here's, I get this on February 25th. Which is 3 days ago. What's that, Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. She goes, hi, Bob. Oh, okay, so her headline is, heads up on rumor of big announcement in cold fusion. Hi, Bob. There's going to be a big announcement in the end of March or April around the time of the next International Conference on Cold Fusion, conference number 19. I heard the rumor from three different sources. One, a contact at the Department of Energy, I think is what DOE stands for, who would not say much more. Two, a fellow at SRI International who's involved in research. And three, another fellow connected to scientists. So she heard from three different people. She says, I believe, capital letters believe, Bill Gates, who visited the ANEA lab and was briefed by Dr. Vittoria Violenti last November, came back and asked the Department of Energy what's up. Now there's going to be a boatload of money available. I believe it will go to the new institute forming at Texas Tech that will collaborate with SRI and ANEA. That's E-N-E-A, capital letters, along with the Skinner Lab in Missouri. There's going to be a major research effort in cold fusion happening. Michael McCubra, he's one of the old cold fusion scientists, is asking scientists, quote, suppose you had unlimited funds available, what experiments would you perform, unquote. And then Ruby says, I do not know that it is Bill Gates, but he is the likely candidate, you know, to fund all this. Then she says, I'm sorry, but I'm unable to call on Saturday nights. I'm super jammed with blah, blah, blah. I'm literally working every waking moment. I'm hardly writing anymore, but I'm making a movie on the SPAWAR research, which should be finished in a couple of weeks. So I wrote back to her. Let's see. What did I write back? I said, they are getting whiffs of what we have done. That's all. But we do not let them in. Nothing else they come up with compares in any way with us. We are the, quote, big announcement, unquote. So she wrote back and said, of course, a day late and a dollar short. Let it be known, Bill Gates came in last.
Did you ever ask Ion about... what we call electric impulses, for example, how the neurons communicate with each other, they say it's with some electric impulses. But is this really like electricity? Is this human energy, source energy?
I don't think I asked it in those questions.
Like confusion? What is going on in our bodies? What type of energy is really there?
Well, Ion does not use the term cold fusion because he says Pons and Fleischmann, who coined it, the process they're talking about is nowhere near the process that we do, and that's true. Our process is very different, including, and we let this out even in our sale for sale recording back in April 2010. We even tell you that the fingernail is involved. Nobody is using the fingernail, so we're unique right there. And it gets closely portrayed in Fringe, metaphorically, when Peter, his hand has to be in the machine to make it work. That's like a metaphor for his finger. A human body part has to be in that machine that he was designed to activate in the plot. Saying, Roxana, should be addressed to Ion in those words. Remember what you said, and say it that way. Because I've asked Ion, what is electricity? Got different answers, never totally satisfactory.
It must be amazing the quantity of energy we need to use in all the systems that are autonomic. Kali, or I don't know how you say it, the autonomic system, autonomic things going on in our body nonstop all our lives.
Yeah.
So
we cover that in the video we just did, From Nirvana to Havana, and the last Emerald Tablet has those three parts of the body: the circular blood, the back and forth magnetism, and then the subtle Akasha. Those three levels relate to, my metaphorically, to the three autonomic systems we have, Carol. Maybe you could name them. Remember we learned there's the nervous system, the autonomic, and the adrenal or something. Maybe Brian knows them. There's three circulating rapid things, right? You know what they are?
Because we also know that they are eternal. They have been going on nonstop.
Yeah, they're not even in time. The science makes it seem like it's happening in time. They try to measure it, but it's best to think of your autonomic system as just your own eternity whizzing about inside yourself. So, anybody here from is that you, Greenbra? Are you here? Is that your number? Or is that, the African Cameroons?
The Cameroons.
Cameroons, okay. All right, so Brian or anybody who's here from the rewrite, what were the three systems that Ion described in our bodies?
Lymphatic, circulatory, and nervous.
There's three there.
Yeah.
There's many systems of the body. There's like 11 systems of the body, but...
We're talking about the autonomic. So, Carolyn, can you give us more details about each one?
I don't know. Well...
What's the circular? Is that blood?
Yeah, that's the heart.
Yeah.
So that's that first one that the Emerald Tablet described.
Yeah, the veins and the arteries.
And then the nervous would be magnetism or the subtle Akasha?
Don't know.
Okay, let's say it's the magnetic.
But the nervous system, you measure the electrical conductivity.
That's the nerve stuff. Okay, so...